Well, you're going to remember the feeling of some of the next sounds I'm going to play you. It was a unique social experiment that brought elderly Australians in a retirement community together with a group of four-year-olds.
What is love?
Love is something very difficult to describe. But
no, it's not. It's easy peasy. Love knows where's A for me.
Is it? Well, you better tell me what it is.
Okay. It's hugs and kisses.
Well, even before the ABC series Old People's Home for Four-Year-Olds was aired, two sisters in Victoria were already working on creating their own intergenerational centre, a place where elders and young people could learn, laugh and play together under one roof. And in 2023, after years of hard work, the doors to their facility, housing both a childcare centre and a residential aged care centre, finally opened, changing the lives of many people involved. Anna Glumak is one of the sisters, and she's co-founder and director of the Herd Intergenerational Learning Centre. And Anna is my guest today on Changing Australia. Anna, a very warm welcome to you.
Thank you so much for having us. It's really wonderful to be here to share our story.
Where did this idea come from for you?
So I was really just delighted to see a documentary about in 2017 of the world's first intergenerational learning centre in Seattle. And that had been open for 30 years before we even discovered this documentary. But my sister Fiona and I both text each other after watching the documentary, and we just said, we have to do this. This is just so special. And, you know, we were both very close to our own grandma, who sadly passed away in aged care, and that really opened our eyes to, you know, the social isolation that occurs. And, you know, this project was for her, because we just thought this really would have lighted her up and just brought so much joy, which it does to, you know, the wider population of our community.
We know that this later television program on the ABC called Old People's Home for Four-Year-Olds, it got a lot of attention. But prior to that, what were people's attitudes of bringing these two groups of human beings together?
It took a lot of education. So, you know, the Old People's Home for Four-Year-Old first aired in 2019. So it was 2017 that we saw this documentary based in Seattle and became passionate about bringing the concept to Australia. So our first job was to pen letters to CEOs in aged cares across Australia, asking for a very big amount of space, which is a big challenge due to, you know, beds being such a hard thing to come by in aged care. But just really educating them about the concepts. I think what really helped, though, was because in the background of all this, the Royal Commission was happening, which obviously brought out that loneliness, socialisation, social isolation and declining mental well-being are such persistent challenges, and that's intensified by loss and grief and mobility limitations, and then of course the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, and all of this is linked to poorer health outcomes and depression. So you know, this was something that was really grasped by the companies that we spoke to, and there was a lot of interest. So the biggest thing I think was just finding the space and obviously, working really hard to get the funding together.
So, Anna, how does this centre work on a daily basis?
So, we're a shared roof facility, so we really love the idea that for both generations, it's a real natural part of daily life. So we have both formal and informal interactions, so it can really support long-term relationships and sustained impact. But across the week, each room, so we have nursery right through to kinder, each room is timetabled to go across to the grandfriends, or sometimes the grandfriends come to us for a mutually beneficial activity. So that might be craft or cooking or gardening, something that will really bring, you know, collaboration between both generations. And so that happens in our mornings, but a big thing for us is just ensuring that as I said, it's just part of that natural daily life, and we really are one community. So residents are welcome to pop down and volunteer at any time of the day. So they all have timetables in their rooms of what's happening in our centre. So we might say at 1:30, we need lots of hands on deck if possible for bottle feeding in the baby's room, or you know, at 10 o'clock, literacy is happening if anyone wants to come and help read some stories. We've got lots of ex-teachers here at the aged care, and obviously lots of spontaneous visits throughout the day. So we have big six-seater buggy prams, and sometimes the babies just go through corridors for smiles and waves. And all that kind of, you know, the natural spontaneous visits are just really beautiful, because we do have some non-participants in our intergenerational program, particularly in the planned activities. And that might be just because, you know, they find kids energetic. They don't have the same kind of energy or the physical mobility to match some of our activities. So, you know, having that concept of just those, you know, little waves in the corridors, or residents being able to come to our beautiful viewing lounge and just look through the big windows, and not necessarily have that pressure to talk or interact, but just to, you know, simply watch, you know, which is similar to how it might have been like when they were in their own lounge rooms, just watching their own kids play. So having that beautiful viewing lounge that connects both of our centres is, you know, a real beautiful hub, where a lot of residents just love sitting back and waving and watching, just the joy of children playing.
So how do you deal with one of the real day-to-day challenges of daycare, and that is kids get sick? All sorts of bugs go around when kids are in childcare. How do you manage that with the older residents from the aged care?
Absolutely. And I think that was a really big concern coming into this. We had to present our business case to the board, and this was amongst lockdown. So having that concern of such a vulnerable population and the spread of illness. So we have some really strict mitigation in terms of spread of illness. In terms of the big outbreaks, you know, you've got gastro, you've got COVID, we're really onto it with communicating between both organisations. If there's one or two cases, we just immediately cease face-to-face interactions. But it's really important, because we found that when we did that, the social isolation and depression scores were coming back up. So then we use this viewing lounge between both spaces, where we still facilitate window interaction. So they might do charades or window aerobics or two-way painting on the big windows, just to encourage, you know, that relationship and that social engagement to continue. But yeah, absolutely a big challenge. But a geriatrician spoke to me before we opened, and he said, look, with all the older adults that I work with, it's the quality of life, not the quantity. So, you know, I guess we knew going into this that this is something that the residents really wanted in terms of the interactions and the intergenerational program. And, you know, I guess there's lots of runny noses and snots and things like that, but that's something that they actually aren't too concerned with. And obviously, you know, the bigger things, we're obviously taking very good care and making sure that we don't spread. And, yeah, I guess, does that answer your question okay?
Yeah, and how do you manage some of the challenges back the other way? And that is, sometimes there are behavioural issues, there can be, for some of the older residents, and they can change from day to day, and those problems can also increase over time. How do you assess whether one of the older residents is someone who's safe and suitable also to be with the kids?
Of course. So for residents who can come to volunteer in our centre, we go through the Working with Children's check process, although that's actually not a requirement because they live there. That's just something that we pop in place. But I guess behavioural changes occur, particularly with dementia. So the residents go through an emotional and a physical assessment before we know it's safe for them to come in. They can't just wander in. It is all FOB controlled. So if there was a resident who presented behaviours that weren't necessarily safe, we've got that safety barrier of them being unable to access our rooms. I guess in terms of the times where we go over to the grandfriends, that can be a challenge because some residents who might present with those behaviours are also equally passionate and, you know, might not have any visitors and it's something that they really enjoy. So that's just an ongoing conversation that we have with the lifestyle team at Uniting Age Well, just to ensure that we're aware of the behaviour profiles and that we're, you know, in constant communication and, you know, ensuring all our staff are aware just to read the body language of the children, etc.
And just finally, I wanted to ask you about the bigger picture, not just with this centre, but as a society as a whole. How do you reflect the way in which we have a lot of division at the moment between younger and older people? You know, many families previously grew up in multi-generational households, and I'm thinking of travels in developing countries. If a family runs a shop, you'll often see that grandma or grandpa is sitting in the shop. They've got kids who are also in the shop, you know, preschoolers crawling all over them, and they're involved in daily life. What do you think about the way sometimes we separate and shut away our older people from the joy of kids?
Oh, absolutely. And that was our big passion, is just making this the norm, because a lot of residents said before we started the program is they're so aware that a lot of our children don't have grandparents around and they want to be that older adult role model. And likewise with our parents, when they come through for a tour before enrolling, they are just so drawn to the concept because they were raised by their grandparent and their grandparent was such a big aspect of their, you know, growing up and their learning. So, you know, parents who come to us are so passionate that, you know, our grandfriends in our program can really bring back those values. And I think what's so important as well is, you know, that kind of touches slightly on ageism. And, you know, if children don't have that, those grandparents around or, you know, that awareness, this really breaks down the barriers of ageism. And just a short little story before we wrap up, but my sister Fiona and I will never forget our first experience of our intergenerational visit. And as we answered, we went up to an Elvis concert into the aged care with our kinder children, and all the grandfriends were sat waiting. Lots of the children were just really creeping in quite shyly, and there was such a look of apprehension on their faces because there was such a fast physical presentation of ageing, you know, with frail skin in the big princess beds. And, you know, that now they just look straight past the wounds on the delicate skin and instead just see their grandfriends for the wonderful people they are and no apprehension at all on, you know, the physical, I guess, presentations of ageing that might be a little bit intimidating for some young people. Just that beautiful, you know, deep exchange that shows the power of human connection and just that, you know, level of empathy and care is just something that we're so proud of that this project has sprung.
Well, Anna, so interesting to talk to you this morning. Thank you very much for talking to me. Well,
thank you so much for letting us share our project. Thank you.
It's Anna Glumak there, the co-founder and director of the HEARD Intergenerational Learning Centre, putting together older Australians and kids in childcare. My guest today on Changing Australia.